Can you
speak into the front of the microphone?
Yes.
Like this?
I mean, it doesn't need to be literally touching
my lips. My lips are touching the tip. My lips are on the tip, mate.
Take your lips off the tip. You can have your lips like an inch from the tip, I would say.
Don't tell me where to
put Don't have it in your mouth. It's weird.
So blue.
Yeah, you should see a doctor about that. Hello, Gasheads, and welcome to this week's episode of Gascast. I'm your host, Nino, and joining me for this one is Max.
Good evening.
Good evening. And Weeksy.
Good evening.
Good evening. Long time no see, mate.
Yeah, see, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, long time. What have you been up to? Where have you been?
Just working.
Running?
Nothing. A little bit, yeah. I might be signing up to something mad soon.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Not like a multi-day challenge, which is bigger than one day,
just a one day, so like smaller
ultra marathon.
What's that?
A big marathon. Yeah.
How much bigger is an ultra marathon?
How much bigger can it be?
They go from 50k to 100k.
Oof. I've started doing 5k on a Saturday morning on Western Seafront, and I was buzzing about that. But
I did the fans to 5K.
Oh yeah, how
on
was
Saturday.
That?
That's really cheating, good.
Mate. You ran five marathons in 5 days. Yeah. You can't rock up to the fans to 5K oh yeah, I need to get couched to 5K fit. Yeah. Just showing up and just like walking past everyone at your jogging.
I was supporting Grant, my coach. But yeah, it's really good. It's nice to see everyone there, and good my little lad did it. Yeah, it's really good initiative. Yeah, it's good.
Do you know how? Because you didn't you put online that Archie did the 5K in 28 minutes.
28 minutes.
How old is he? 11.
11. Yeah.
Do you know how depressed Kaz was? Because
you know she messages you.
He beat our time. She was absolutely raging.
No, and I was holding him back on the way around as well. I was like, mate, you've got to pace yourself. We had loads left, so we're going to do it again this week. See how fast he can go. I think it's a good event down at Eastville. So if anyone gets a chance to do a park run, I would definitely recommend.
Before we get going, one thing I want to plug is the Gas Girls game at the Mem, which is happening. I'm sure you've all seen 24th of March. They're playing their last home league game of the season against Liskard Athletic, I think it's pronounced. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff. Prices are really good. So it's £5 for adults and £1 for under 18s. And Rovers also, we haven't got a home game before that point. So we'll all need our football fix. So yeah, get down there. Obviously the girls have already secured the title with 2 games to spare. Yeah, their rise through the leagues has been absolutely phenomenal since they were formed. I think they're only formed in 2019, I believe, the Gas Girls.
It's a great effort, isn't it?
And they're 3 promotions now from the WSL, which is, yeah, crazy. So they're doing amazingly. So yeah, get down the Mem on the 24th and join in with the celebrations. I'm sure it'll be a really good day. Yeah, so let's get cracking. So in this one, we're going to talk about the home defeat to Derby. And then we're also going to chat about last night's thriller at Fleetwood, the 0-0 draw up there. So we'll start with the Derby game. So we've got possession was 51% to Rovers, 49% to Derby. Shots, 6 for Rovers, 15 for Derby. Shots on target, 3 for Rovers, 6 for Derby. Big chances, 1 for Rovers, 4 for Derby. And the XG was 0.44 for Rovers and 3.26 for Derby, which I haven't looked back, but I'm pretty sure that is by far the biggest XG that someone's created against us. I put a tweet out on Gascast after the game, basically saying that I thought Derby were levels above us and also had gears to move into. There was kind of mixed opinions, I think, in response to that. Some people thought that they were good value for the 3-0 win. Others didn't really agree. Weeksy, I'll come to you first. Personally, yep. I thought that they looked by far the best side that we faced this season.
Yeah, easily. They were really impressive, I thought. And before the game, looking at their team sheet and some of the names in their first 11 and then some of the names on the bench as well. You know, there's League One winners on there. Mm. Kane Wilson, it was brilliant for Forest Green. Obviously, his move to City didn't work, but we know he's such a good player. But I thought, you know, first half, we did well, although I think Derby were kind of just keeping us at arm's length and almost ready to pounce and ready to go in for the kill. I thought we actually done quite well. We looked set up, we looked quite solid. I thought it was nice to see Connor Taylor back. yeah. Just gives us that solidity in there, and he looked okay.
We did well defensively in the first half, but that is all we had.
Yeah,
there was no counterpunch from us at all. It was just backs against the wall.
Yeah, we didn't look a threat at all. But like you say, defending our own box, I thought we actually did okay. I mean, they had their offside goal that did look offside. It was a great move by them, and it was that type of move. They looked like they could open us up at will when they wanted, and it was almost kind of they were kind of like setting us up for that. And at halftime, I think we were really pleased to be 0-0. I think the consensus in the stands were, Christ, thank God we got in now. And
Taylor said in his post-match, I think he said he was relieved, basically, to get in at 0-0 at halftime.
Yeah, I think rightly so, should have been. But for me, I think it's been a problem all season. We just, certainly in that type of game where you can't get out, we just no pace. Zero pace, you know. The one bit of pace we do have with Thomas, it's just glaringly obvious that we missed him desperately. Mm. And Finley struggled in that game. There were a few around us that were probably, as bad as Finley was, and don't get me wrong, he was, were probably being a little unfair. He's been out for a long time. He's probably up against the best centre midfield in the division. Well, definitely the best centre midfield in the division. So looked a bit rusty. So I think it might be one of those things where it's a bit of a blessing in disguise to see how far off we are, that we are where we want to be next season. There's a lot of work to do.
Probably learn. I think Matt Taylor will learn a lot more from a game like that than he will do from a lot of the other games that we're playing around this sort of time.
I think we would have learned a lot about individual players as well. And then second half, I think they just did what they needed to do. And like I said, we were talking before, they definitely looked like they had another gear. I think they could have just clicked into another gear without a problem. So if we did manage to nick one, I think it would have gone and scored another two type thing. So I actually think the scoreline probably actually flattered us.
I agree.
If anything. But at the same time, I didn't really walk away disappointed. I think I tweeted out that I just said, sometimes you get beat by a better side and we're not competing against Derby. We're just not. And I think we all thought we might be earlier in the season. But as the season's gone on, it's become evident we're miles off it. But there's definitely signs there, you know, that are really encouraging. And I think reading between the lines of Matt's interviews, he seems quite content and quite happy. Certainly now we've got to that 50-point mark. I think now he thinks, right, I can relax into it. I can look at the players that I want to take us on next season, the ones that need to go. And fair play to Derby. I think looking at them, I think they probably will get into the top two, although Bolton were really good last night. So, see where they end up. But if them or Bolton don't go up, there's definitely going to be another strong side in the league next season.
Yeah. Max, I thought, for me, Derby were kind of reminiscent of Sheffield Wednesday from last season, where I wasn't blown away by their football. I wouldn't say they like passed us off the pitch or anything, but they just looked so solid and efficient and just like tailor-made for this league. Basically, they were just big, physical, experienced. I just thought they looked like they were just built to be a top League One side, basically.
Yeah, I think their averages were just higher. And that sounds like quite a statty thing to say, but I just, the bare basics of it, they did the basics at a much better level than we did. Not to say we were bad, but I think everything they did, their baseline was just much higher. What they were doing, you know, play to play, the basics was, yeah, they were doing it at a much better level than what we can kind of say for ourselves. So yeah, when you look at the averages, they just did everything better. They attacked better, they defended better. And like you said, they kind of outplayed us without really getting out of third gear. And that says to me that they do everything so well and so naturally that for us to even match that level, we have to be playing at 7-8 out of 10 just to, you know, compete with that. So if that's their kind of, you know, third gear, I think that just speaks volumes, really.
I thought basically in the first half, we had to put so much effort into just keeping them at bay and not letting them score that it just completely nullified our own attack, essentially. Yep. We just had nothing. So we were playing a back four, they were playing with wing backs, and the amount of space their wing backs were getting all the time, especially their right wing backs and Bold Chap on the right, I don't know his name, but he was just in acres of space the whole time. And it was just like, we couldn't even get near them really at times. Like
their wing backs were pinging back our part of our front three.
Yeah.
I was watching because Sinclair was going with their right back. And I thought, that just kind of that pins us in. We can't get out there. You should be leaving that to your fullback, really, or at least a centre, maybe a defensive centre midfielder coming across. You know, and if you can do that as a wing back, you can be advanced and pin the opposition number back. Then you know it's impossible to get out.
Mm. I also thought the way they pressed us all over the pitch, probably one of the best sides I've seen this season. And just whenever we had the ball, it just felt like they were swarming all over us and just didn't have any time.
Yeah, I just think, you know, their averages were much higher. Everything they did so much better than us. And if you look on the Derby County Forum, if you look at the Rams Talk podcast and what they were saying, all of them were saying that was their best performance of the season.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, like by a margin. So, And, you know, I don't think we played bad. I just think, you know, we didn't play great. We didn't really play to our strengths. We didn't really seem to have a game plan that would affect them. And we just seem to be caught on a day where they are absolutely, you know, on fire. It happens. I'm not going to get upset about it. I can remember a few seasons ago, maybe I think it was last season, Ipswich. We went Ipswich away and they absolutely demolished us 2-0 with some of the best football I've seen. And I was just like, got beaten by a better team. And, you know, some people get quite defensive when you say that, or just like, no, we were shit. It's like, no, sometimes you just come up against a team that are much better than you. There's no shame in that,
as they should be. Like we said, with their squad, they should be much better than us,
miles off of it.
Make no mistake, their budget is 3-4 times ours.
Yeah,
their wage bill is literally 4 times our wage bill, so they should be. But you know, could we have done better? Yeah, I think so. Am I upset or disappointed? No, not at all. We don't really have much to play for, and I think, again, we're probably going to talk about Fleetwood, but I think the most important thing was getting minutes in Connor Taylor and Sam Finley.
Mm. I thought it was quite telling what you said at the end of the game, even during it, to be honest. It wasn't really like there was any anger on the terraces.
All, no.
It was just like, yeah, this is happening. We expected this
to
happen.
There was an acceptance, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, well, fair play to Derby. You know, their fans, I thought, were decent as well.
Oh, I thought they were one of the best away followings we've had on the
map
in a long
time.
They
made a good racket in there. I was in the South Stand, so, you know, that right next to them, really, and I think that stand actually helps because you can create a little atmosphere in there as well. But you know,
it was nice to see a proper away following in there, I thought.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it, since we've had a good number come down, it feels like. But yeah, I mean, talking about Derby's kind of like wage bill, and they probably have to go up, don't they? Looking at that squad, I'd imagine. But
like Horahan, for God's sake.
It's ridiculous.
It's in the Premier League like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, nothing to be too upset about, was there? And even when their third went in, it was kind of like everyone accepted, went, and everyone left. Yeah. There was hardly anybody left, was there, for the last 2 minutes.
I've never seen fans stream out of the mem so fast. When that third goal went in, suddenly looked around me on the Thatchers, and there was just like acres of space around me. It was just,
I think that's quite on a reflection of our manager. I was thinking about it in the week, actually, that we mentioned that there was no anger or over-disappointment, where I find Matty Taylor, he's quite calming and quite, he's set our expectations at the right level. And you know, give him credit for that, because that's quite a hard job from where we were with Jerry, where it was quite up and down and quite really, really excited or really angry and no in between. I think with Matt, we're going to be, you know, on a level playing field and be sensible and calm about things, which I think in the long run put us in good stead.
Be interested to hear what you guys think about the people who've been on the forum and on Twitter calling him boring.
No, I'm not having
that. And how we've, you know, should we be happy with the draw against Fleetwood? Should we be? Do you think he's boring? Do you think he's safe? Do you think he's just a bit vanilla?
No, I think he's calculated.
Okay.
Genuinely, I do. I can see why people think that, just because where we've come, we've got to remember where we've come from one extreme, I think, to the other. And I can see everyone have their opinion, but I think he's very clever, calculated, we've seen him, you know, give us passion. You know, to the away end, Stevenage, was it?
Yeah.
Stevenage, you know, the celebrations at Leyton Orient. I thought, you know, it is in there, and I think we'll see more of it when he's got his own squad, and when I still think that we'll do a lot better next season. You know, we're still within a shout of finishing top 10 with all the uproar and upheaval of this season. What's happened, I think, is a great effort.
What do you think, Nino?
Yeah. I think any manager who's going to follow Barton would have had to have a massive character to not seem boring.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think every press conference with Barton was box office. even though most of the times I listened to him and thought you're an absolute prick, but it was still box office. I still
couldn't miss one.
I couldn't not listen.
Yeah.
Because you just never knew what he was going to say.
And I've skipped quite a few of Taylor's because I've been like, yeah, I know what he's going to say.
But in a way, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't mind having a manager who it was like Joey Barton FC. And it's not Matt Taylor FC, it's Bristol Rovers FC, and he's the manager, and I think that's fine.
So do you think the reaction after the Derby game would have been the same if Joey was in charge? Because you've had one extreme not loving Joey that would have voiced their discontent, where now everybody's like, well, don't really need to. And the pressure off the players, maybe? I don't know.
I agree with you. I think everything just seems a lot more settled and calm now with Taylor in charge than it would have done in this scenario with Barton, definitely. Max, I wanted to come on to, because we were chatting about James Wilson a little bit before we started recording. Obviously, him and Jack Hunt were missing for this one. Hunt through injury, Wilson through suspension. Looking at the average ages of the sort of back three, back fours, whatever in this game. So Derby's back three and goalkeeper, the average age was 28. And the average age of the Rovers back four plus Jed Ward in goal was 21 and a half. Do you think that difference in experience told, and therefore do you think that Hunt and Wilson were a bit of a miss in a game like this, where probably you do want some older heads in there?
Yes, absolutely. I would counter that with...
what were you saying, pre-pod?
No.
No, absolutely they would have. We missed that experience, and I think potentially as a collective back four, we would have done better with Hunt and Wilson in there to kind of steward it. That said, what would be the value of that? For me, the value of the 3-0 with that average age of 21 is the lessons that that back four and goalkeeper would have learned from it. And given the fact that you know, it's Hall, Gordon, Baggett and Taylor, and Jed Ward in goal, four of those five are here next season. We'll see if Hall and Gordon get off of contracts. I'm assuming they'll probably be maybe renewed under a squad basis. At least that's what I'd like to see. If that's the case, then you know that's some valuable experience gained and lessons learned. And you know, I know some of our fullbacks, they do get some stick, and I was livid at Luca Hall for the Fleetwood performance, but Gordon does get a lot of flack, and I really rate Gordon.
I think.
And you look at Gordon last season, do you remember Sheffield Wednesday away when he cost us the goal, the 1-0 defeat away on Sky? Sorry, the goal, we drew 1-1, didn't
one
we?
1-0, yeah, Coburn scored, didn't he?
The conceding goal was his fault. And
I remember it now. Yeah.
Versus now, and I think he's a much better player. And I think if we keep him on, again, he'll be a much better player next year. Connor Taylor, he's just getting better and better and better. Jed Ward, considering this is his first professional season, and he's only been in the squad a month or so, is doing very, very well. And I just think they'll all, you know, this is all so valuable to them. And, you know, yeah, you could put James Wilson in there. Yeah, you could put Jack Hunt in there. But when you're not really going for promotion or relegation or anything,
you're not going to learn a lot from having them in there. Yeah,
absolutely. I'd play that back four. Like, you've got to play the team that gives you the best chance of winning, sure. But on the other hand, like, think how much better they are for it. And, you know, the same back five there, keep a clean sheet of Fleetwood, which I don't think you necessarily, not saying that's because of the Derby result, but they learned lessons and they kept a clean sheet. For all faults of the performances, defensively it was very solid. So, I have a lot of things to say about James Wilson and Jack Hunt. Mostly the fact that neither of them can seem to stay, can put a run of 10 games together because neither of them can stay fit or stay unsuspended. But I really do like that we're kind of blooding these young lads, and hopefully they're gaining a lot from it. And hopefully we're starting to see some fruits of that now, but even more so next season, I'd hope.
Yeah, Weeksy, obviously... you probably would say it wasn't our strongest 11 because we were missing Hunt, Wilson, Ward probably starts if he's fit, Luke Thomas, obviously. However, I just thought it was a case of the players who did play. There was just like two or three players who were just nowhere near their best level. I know you mentioned Finlay, who really struggled. I know he had been out for a few games, looked rusty, but also just gave it to them pretty much every... I think it took about until the 60 minutes until he actually found a Rovers man with a pass. He was just giving it away constantly. But also Evans, I don't think, had someone who's been fantastic this season. But there was just key players who just weren't at their normal level.
And like you say, we go back to our point, was it the fact that, you know, Derby were so good and they just overran us more than we ever got? I mean... I thought Sinclair was unbelievably quiet, barely got a kick.
Yeah.
I thought Chris Martin's starting to look a little bit tired, if I'm completely honest. I think, Evans was quiet, but it didn't help when they're chasing the game because you know, Finley was so poor. So yeah, I think it was more of Derby was just outplaying us. And we just didn't seem to have much. We didn't get the ball into our front three. So those three were very, very quiet.
Very isolated.
Yeah. And just, you know, literally feeding off scraps. But yeah, there's one or two looking a little bit tired as well. And it is getting towards the end of the season, isn't it? Where we're mid-table, there's nothing to play for. So
yeah.
Yeah, Finley in particular was poor, but when he comes back from a timeout, he has done that a couple of times. It takes him a couple of games to get going.
Yeah.
I think actually last time we played Derby, he just come back into the side and he was superb up at Pride Park.
Yeah.
If you remember rightly, he was unbelievable that game. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not overly concerned about Sam. I really rate Sammy Finney. So yeah, it's just, I think Derby were a bit too much for us.
If you're going to compete with Derby, you need all your players, especially your best players, to be at the top of their game. And they just weren't.
I think you'd need, I'd have the midfield three for me. You'd want out there would be, you know, Conte, Ward and Evans, all at their best.
Yeah.
And I think would give them a good go. You know, it's good to see Ward back on the pitch yesterday. So, you know, again, that's another one. You get him next to Conte next season, it'd be looking a lot sharper.
Tasty.
Yeah, I do like the look of it.
Trying to put the top on your microphone, mate?
I'm having some problems with it. Give me a second.
How did that fall off?
Where is it?
Just by the right foot. Yeah, there we go.
I've got it.
Got it?
I've got it. Let's carry on.
Any... Sorry, Max has just sorted his microphone out and dropped the head off the tip. any complaints for you over the Derby goals? First one's a bit scrappy from a set piece. Mm. The most annoying thing was from the Thatchers... The first one, the linesman put his flag up and then everyone was like, "Oi!" And then they just wheeled away and started celebrating. Yep. I was very sad at that point. Second one's a screamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good finish.
Good finish. Screamer.
Yeah.
From Barkhausen, I think it was.
Tom Barkhausen.
Yeah. And then the third one's kind of hit us on the break because we're pushing men forward, trying to equalise. But anyway, yeah.
Any, answered your own question there.
I have. I don't even need you here.
No, you don't.
You're surplus to requirements.
Yeah. The first one went over the line before it was given as well.
Definitely did.
That's upsetting.
Definitely went over. And it wasn't given. And I was watching like, no. And then it went in anyway. I was like, oh. Okay. No complaints really. The first one, yeah, could maybe have got a little bit more stuck in. Just couldn't seem to get it. Couldn't seem to get it away. Couldn't seem to get hold of it. It happens. A bit of pinball. Happens to the best teams. No complaints really. Yeah, just beaten by a better team.
Mendes Lang's annoying, isn't he? So quick.
So quick.
Quick and strong.
Need someone like that.
It's just so fast. Like they gave the ball to him and he could just get him up the pitch within a few seconds.
Don't even need to be like any end product or any kind of like skill. Just let the pace is such an attribute that, you know, it's so evident this season and last season that we've lacked it.
Oh yeah.
Well with him it's quite rarely any end product, isn't there, with him? But he gets in his position so often, he can't miss all the time.
Yeah. Law of averages dictates he has to get a final product at some point.
Yeah, also, he gets you on the back foot as well. Yeah. He gets the whole team like backtracking because, oh my God, we're under, you know, he's got some pace. We need to, you know, retreat.
You have to defend deeper with someone like him on the other position side because you can't risk being up on the halfway line and having him running in behind you. Yeah. We just haven't got any threat like that at all.
No disrespect, but like with Martin, Sinclair and Vale as a front three, you can play quite a high line.
Yeah. You could defend in the opposition's penalty box and you'd
still get back.
You'd be absolutely fine.
I just think the only thing concerning me about their goals, just think about their goals, especially their third, is how often this season the balls run across our box, you know, a fair distance, like 20, 30 yards, and someone's in the back post to tap it in.
Someone seemed to step over it. I can't remember now if it was a Derby player that stepped over it or if it was a defender.
I think it might have been one of ours, because if I remember rightly, it goes quite a long way. It might have been Connor Taylor.
Okay.
Whether, it, you know, the guys give it the schneidy little shout.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, if you look back at a lot of the goals we conceded this season, there are a few that are quite similar to that. So... That's something they need to nip in the bud, really.
Yeah. Last question on Derby before we move on to Fleetwood. How much of a, looking at that game, how much of a gap do you think there is for us to break? If we want to be that sort of level in the league next season, did that game scare you in terms of how much of a gap you think there is to bridge? And is that even possible with the difference in the budgets, as we've said? It just seems like a mammoth task to get near that.
I think, very fair question. I would counter that with they're a top two team, not a top six team.
Okay, yeah.
So you look at them, and then you look at Stevenage, who we've played recently, Oxford, who we played recently,
yeah,
Lincoln, who we're playing this Saturday.
Who we should be targeting rather than Derby.
Exactly. Yeah. Derby and, you know, Portsmouth, yeah, I think they probably had an off day against us and we were at our best. But you know, Derby had a very, very good game. They were all on their A game and they were kind of probably at their best. And they kind of showed what it is to be a top two team at this level. And yeah, I think that's, I akin it to like Ipswich of last season. They were just levels above, really. We did quite well to draw them to a 0-0 draw at home the tail end of last season. But the gap between top two is huge. And then again, you look at the Championship, once you're in there, there's some even more levels to go up. So if we want to improve, I don't think you can kind of make that jump or that leap even to that top two. And that comparison is probably an unfair one to make on yourselves. I think what you've got to aim for is, you know, the likes of the Stevenage and Oxford sides, which have been in and around, which I don't think we're miles off. I mean, I know we're 10 points away from Oxford and looks like we're not going to hit your prediction weeks here finishing above them, I don't think.
But, yeah, I know.
But I got that clipped up. Don't you worry about that.
I thought you forgot about that. Shit.
That said, I really don't think there's, you know, between them and us at the minute, if the two teams play each other probably 10 times, I think we probably win five or six of them and they probably win four or five of them. We're probably in slightly better form than them. They've been pretty poor under Des Buckingham. But I think generally the gap between us and Oxford, the gap between us and Stevenage is very, very little, if any, at the minute. The problem is that we've just lost so much ground over the course of the season through injury, through change of manager, through just bad moments in games has cost us. But I think on the pitch, if we were to start the season again now and play, let's say, a 20-game season from now, I think we'd probably finish in a very similar position to those teams. So in regards to the playoffs, I don't think the gulf is huge, but in regards to the top two, yeah, massive. That seems to be a very, very competitive top three, four at the minute. So
yeah, no, that's fair. All right, cool. Let's move on to last night's game. So Fleetwood away, 0-0 draw. Stats: possession 40% for them, 60% to Rovers. Shots 14 apiece. It's a lot of shots for a game that I thought was incredibly
much for the finishing, does it?
Incredibly dull game. That's a hell of a lot of shots. Shots on target: 2 for them, 6 for us. Big chances: 2 each. XG: 1.39 for Fleetwood, 1.05 for Rovers. Weeksy, I'll come to you. An evening that none of us who watched it will ever get back.
No.
I mean, to be fair, the fans who travelled...
Unbelievable.
...are off their rocker. Like, fair play. Why would you go? Unless you live within a fairly decent distance. Anyway, fair play if you went, but you are mad.
Yeah.
I felt slightly disappointed at full time. And then listened to Matt Taylor's interview. Like you were saying earlier, kind of changed my perspective on it, actually, his viewpoint, in that... It was a rubbish pitch. It visibly got worse throughout the game as well. Wet and windy night up north. But to be honest, we usually lose these sorts of games, especially on a Tuesday night, against a side fighting for their lives as well, compared to us who have nothing really to play for. I think in hindsight, didn't go skipping into work this morning because we drew 0-0 at Fleetwood, but it's a decent enough point.
Yeah, I think so. I think you make a good point. You're going to a side that are fighting for your life, so you probably expect them to... you know, put up a bit of a better fight, if you like. But, you know, this morning I kind of woke up thinking we've got to that 50-point mark when probably, 3-4 weeks ago, everyone's thinking, where are we going to get these points from? You know, we had a little bit of a bad run. So, you know, touching on Max's point before, with a derby game, again, it's more experience for our younger players. And I think that's the key now. I think you might see quite similar lineups and it might tell a story of who Matt wants to see here next season. But, you know, going up there, wet Tuesday night, you know.
We always get turned over in games like that.
Yeah, and it's another clean sheet, at least.
Yeah.
Is another positive. You know, 14 shots again with an XG of 1. You know, that's a bit of a worry, but... nothing to be over concerned of. I think you probably try and take the positives out of that. I think if we were still chasing a playoff position, you'd be disappointed with that result. But where we are now, clean sheet, I think it's team fighting for their lives. We're at the magic 50 points. You can almost see Matt Taylor was really relaxed in his interview.
Yeah.
And I think he was probably, I think he'd be quite pleased on the trip home with that. I don't think he'd want to overly say that. I know he said he was reasonably happy with it, but I think deep down he went like, yeah, that's a decent point, and you know, into a tough game on Saturday. So yeah, and again, just touching on those fans, if you went, fair play. Because I was just, when I saw people in the away end, I thought, my word, that's a drive on a Saturday when you're chasing promotion, let
it's
alone
like 4 hours.
Yeah, easy. And some, I reckon, the times you're traveling.
Rush hour, yeah.
Yeah, horrible. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I went on the forum earlier and there was people on this. Some people seemed a bit angry because we'd dropped, or Fleetwood had taken 4 points off us, because obviously they beat us at the Mem 2-0 a couple of weeks back. But it's the loss at the Mem that's the issue, yeah. Not the draw there last night. You've got to be beating sides like them at home. The fact we went there last night and got a point is all right.
We do your job at home, a point away is always good.
It's fine, yeah. Max, do you think that there was a little bit of a, I include myself in this, by the way, a bit of a misconception about that game last night? Because although Fleetwood are 22nd, I believe, obviously they are struggling, but they are unbeaten in five and they've only lost two of their last 11. And that was to Barnsley and Lincoln, who are obviously, Lincoln are absolutely flying and Barnsley are up there as well. So I think Charlie Adam went in there, didn't he? To be fair, since Charlie Adam's gone in, they're a much better side than they were pre-Charlie Adam. So do you think, who was it before? It was Little Lee, wasn't it, that was in there before, yeah. Charlie Adam?
Little Lee.
Angry little man.
Do you think that, yeah, we all took it for granted a little bit that we'd just go up there and roll them over because they're near the bottom. But actually, it's the form table suggested it was going to be a much sort of tougher game, really.
Yeah, well, I think you only need to look back 3 or 4 weeks to the game at the Mem and realise that they were a tough team to play, like physically, tactically. You had to have a plan for them, and I don't really think we have the tools to kind of deal with that style of play. We don't have the pace, we don't have the pitch certainly didn't help. Evans tried his best, as did Finley with a couple of nice balls, but yeah, I think they are a decent side, and you've got some players like Lawal. And
well, we were saying, when you look through the 11, 1 to 11,
yeah,
I'm actually baffled that they are where, from an outsider's perspective, yeah. You actually can't believe that they are where they are.
Some good players. Stockley, Broom had another good game. Both games he played really well. Phoenix Patterson played well in both games.
Jay Lynch and goals, an experienced keeper.
Lynch is very good. Rooney, I thought a little bit clumsy at times, but a pretty solid centre-back.
Yeah.
He's caused us problems at wing-back before as well last season. So
that Luau would be somebody I'd like to go for.
Yeah, he's a good CDM, really.
Imagine him and Conte in the middle.
You'd just win everything, wouldn't you?
They'd steamroller every midfield.
He'd be gettable as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, if they go down potentially. But yeah, no, I think it was a tough game. Like, let's be under no disillusions here. You know, it's a tough game and a point's good. I probably am on the other side of the coins, you know. You said you were disappointed at full time. I was kind of just like, yeah, I'll take that. Probably a bit gutting that I think 30 seconds before the whistle, we had probably the best chance of the game to tuck it in to the goal from 3 yards out, and we've somehow hit the post. But that kind of, I kind of felt like that when that happened, I was like, well, that kind of sums us up tonight. We've just not been sharp enough in the key areas. So I take a clean sheet every day of the week with that, the average age of 21 at the back line. And yeah, a point away from home's always welcome. It's our first draw in how many games? I'm sure you'll tell me now.
So it's our first draw in 18 league games. So that stretches back to Matt Taylor's first game in charge at home to Cheltenham.
Yeah. And since then we've won 8 and lost 9, I think,
yeah,
in between, which isn't too bad. I mean, I know people have said what they want to say about Taylor in the run, but if you win one, lose one, that's averaging 1.5 points a game, which over a season will have you finish about 10th, which is not bad by any stretch. So yeah, it's been mad that we've been able to, it's hard to look at because a lot of those losses we maybe could have avoided and turned into draws. But we've certainly won games where we maybe would have drawn in the past.
I agree.
It's a bit hard to gauge. Too, I mean, smaller sample size.
Because of the timing of this podcast, we're not going to discuss Orient away, which is obviously the game before these two, which we have talked about, which is a bit of a shame because that was an absolutely filthy 1-0 win on the road.
That was a 0-0.
A disgusting 1-0 win on the road.
Should have been 0-0.
Yeah. But again, it's the sort of game where we weren't brilliant. Second half, we were clinging on, but you just grind it out. And last night, if we had managed to get a goal, again, we'd have been coming away going, you know, weren't fantastic, but it was a shit pitch. They're a big, ugly side to play. And we've ground out another 1-0 win. What I was going to say is we chatted on the last pod, me and Willett, I think it was, about the bipolar nature of our fan base at times, being really up and really down and really up and really down. But the results have been like that, to be fair. Like Max said, we win, we lose, we win, we lose. I don't think there's anything wrong with in a game where you're not at your best, just coming away with a point. Like, we probably need to do that more rather than getting beat. Like, when we're not at 100% getting beat, we probably just need to go, all right, we're not great here today. Like at Northampton, where we had a really weak side out and we just got rolled over. That's the sort of game I just love to go there and be able to grind something out.
I think sometimes you have to recognise kind of in-game management, isn't it? If the game's not quite going your way, you might have to accept, you might have to sit in here and try and get that point. I was listening to the radio earlier on, actually, and somebody mentioned Arsenal last night, where they ground out a result against Porto, and they realised it wasn't going their way. They kind of accepted that and stayed solid instead of going for it, which we used to do under Barton quite a lot, didn't we? And just having that nous of, like you say, you win one, lose one, win one, lose one, can get you 10th, 11th, 12th in the league, where you turn only a few of those into draws and you find yourself on the cusp of a playoff place.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, in turn, kind of saying we're not that far off from Oxford's Stevenage's, it is probably 7 or 8 draws in the season and you'll find yourself up with them. Rather than losing, you know, Burton, Fleetwood at home, suddenly you're 2 points better off. So when they can feel really, really disappointing, it's still a point in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, and I still think next season under Matt, I think that team will kind of reflect his personality and I think we'll find ourselves being a lot more consistent. So that's the biggest difference with the top 2, 3, 4 sides. They're unbelievably consistent. They might have the odd, you know, bad game. Looked at Bolton stats last night and last 11 league games at home, they've only lost once, which was against us. And then, you know, I said to my little lad about that, I said, look, you know, see those stats, they just have one wobble and then they get over it and they'll put another 3 wins together in a row. And I think if you can do that in this league, especially in League One, you're going to find yourself up near the top, which is where we want to be next season.
Max, I think, like Weeks, he said earlier, listen to Matt Taylor's post-match interview. It's probably the happiest I've seen him, I reckon, which I wasn't really expecting, but he looked absolutely buzzing. He mentioned a few times the clean sheet and then looked on social media under his interview. And there's quite a few fans like slagging him off and saying, oh, he's got no ambition. How can you be pleased with a point against a side in the relegation zone? Blah, blah, blah. Like really sort of belittling the fact that he was so pleased with it. But I just think, like we've said, we're not playing for anything. I just think he's clearly working really hard on just trying to change the whole mindset of the squad in terms of valuing clean sheets and being defensively organised.
Yeah, I think he's identified the fact that we've failed to score in probably, I think, is it 3 of the last like 30 games or something ridiculous?
Yeah.
I looked up earlier, I can't remember, it was something like 28, 29 games.
And we've got, what, 3, 4 clean sheets over the entire season, I'd have thought? Is it five?
But, you know, that goes to show if you can keep more clean sheets. He says the problem's never been the other end of the pitch because we've scored in, I think, like 27 of the last 30 games in the league, which is, bonkers. So if you keep a clean sheet, you win, like, most of those.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that he's, like, I think he's at the stage now where he knows we're safe. He's, like, micromanaging and, like you said, trying to instill the mindset. He's trying to improve on the small things. And now he's got most of the squad back fit. He's able to focus his efforts on kind of setting up the defensive structure, which, like you say, just hasn't been there. We've been so leaky, and that's the word he used in his interview. We're a leaky team. We've been a leaky team, giving away soft goals. And if we can make ourselves, you know, hard to score against, then that's half the battle won, because all you need to add on top of that is, you know, players at the front end of the pitch, which, if you're being solid, it kind of gives them the platform to go and do their thing. So I think Barton was very score goals first, worry about conceding them after, just outscore them. Yeah, you can maybe say Taylor's a little bit safer, a little bit more boring. But
it's just more pragmatic.
I would take it at the minute because, you know, I keep going back to the Burton at home and Fleetwood at home. Just like conceding 2 goals in both of those games just killed us, man. It kills the confidence in the players. It kills your game plan. It improves the mood of the opposition team, who can then play with more freedom, and, you know, just kind of playing into the opposition's hands. And again, you talked about in the Northampton game and going 1-0 down early, the Stevenage game, you just need to give yourself a foundation to play the game on. And if you, it's an old cliche, but keep it tight early. It really does give you that foundation. And we've got the players to kick on from it. And with the right recruitment in the summer, Bill from the back, again, I'm football cliches here, but none of the basics were there. Like when Taylor came in, you can see the mess we were in. We had injuries all over the shop. We had a game plan that was being turned over most weeks, players in the wrong mindsets, probably a bit of feudalism in the camp. And to be fair, I think he's done a pretty good job of calming that all down, getting everyone on side, getting us safe and saying, like, let's relax, let's focus on what we want to do, let's stay solid and let's just try and ride up towards that top 10 if we can. And I think he deserves credit for not doing a great job, but he's doing the job that he was brought in to do when he took over from Barnes, which is steady the ship. And the ship, for me at the minute, is looking pretty steady.
Mm. I'll come back to you just on this one. I mean, it wouldn't be fair to say that Fleetwood didn't have their chances, because they did. They hit the bar with one. Hall cleared one off the line, I believe.
Yep.
But you would really like to feel that on another day, one of our chances goes in and we take the 3 points. There's the Evans one-on-one, which I think, to be fair, I think it is a really good save from Lynch. Gets down well. Hall then hits the post from the free kick late on. The main thing that really pissed me off is that there was just some absolutely golden shooting opportunities turned down by a few players. Evans had one. The worst one, I think, was Vale.
Vale's was the worst.
Just criminal. He's got to shoot.
Got to pull the trigger. Yeah, it's a confidence thing, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
When not a lot of those players are on streak, hot streaks, other than Martin, who himself didn't have a lot of shooting opportunities in the game.
He barely touched the ball, I thought.
Yeah, he was really isolated by their defence. They did a good job of singling him out. But then Sinclair, been out of the team most of the season. I know he's got one recently, but there's only the one. I think he's only got two goals this season. So he's not massively high on confidence in terms of his shooting boots. And then Vale, again, has not scored in a long, long time. That pretty much sums up why we weren't pulling the trigger. You've not got players like, I mean, for all his kind of dip in form and lack of goal scoring prowess towards the end of his time at Rovers, Collins was at least never afraid to have a shot.
Mm.
Even if it went wide or over, he would at least pull the trigger. And sometimes you'd be like, fuck's sake, why is he shot there? At least he would do it. Some players just kind of, they're almost scared to do it. And I don't know why, because most of them are fantastic footballers to get to the level they're at, that they can and do have the technique to score from outside the box. But in terms of the wingers cutting inside, I don't know whether it's a weaker foot thing, whether it's a confidence thing, but they do need to just shoot more.
Three individual performances I want to chat about from it. So we'll start with Baggett, who... Max is very excited about this. After his first couple of performances, was taking some pelters online, to be fair. He didn't have the best start to his Rovers career. However, I think he is improving all the time. And I thought he was great again last night. And there's people now on Twitter talking about hoping to get him back next season.
Yeah,
I think he looks a really good prospect. He's playing really well.
Yeah, I do. I think he's got plenty about him, isn't he? He looks strong. Gives us that good balance as well, his left foot in that left centre half role, either in a three or in the four that we play. I just think he's kind of grown into it. And sometimes you see lone players have a difficult start, and then that difficult start just carries on, and
it snowballs.
Yeah, and it just gets worse. I like him, and I kind of like his way. He seems like another calm influence, which I think Matt Taylor would like. I would probably try and keep him, you know, as long as he, you know, carries this on to the end of the season. I think he probably, I don't know his contract situation, but I think he would be gettable. I don't think he'd play in the Championship at all.
Especially if Ipswich go up to the Prem, he's never getting a look in there.
No, they've been so good. So I'd like us to see, you know, try and get him. And with him and Connor Taylor playing centre half, the height, should never lose a header ever.
No, ever.
If we concede from a corner, we have the right to go mad. But two young centre halves. So I think they would look really good in a partnership in a four, and it just looks comfortable. He's got a bit of pace about him as well.
Yeah.
Considering his size, he can shift. And
he's also quite good at like punching it into midfield as well. Yeah, there's a few times last night. Just playing it into a midfielder's feet rather than doing an aimless ball down the channel, just punching it into Finlay or Evans, and then they were turning.
Yeah, I think very impressed considering, you know, a young centre half coming, really difficult start. I must admit, the first two games, thought, my God, what have we signed here? Because I don't think he had the best spell at Cheltenham either, did he? I don't think they were overly keen on him.
No.
So yeah, you know, the rest of the season, I'd like to see him get minutes and then maybe Matt make a decision on him, but I wouldn't be disappointed if we went in for him.
Max, Chris Martin. I realise I'm probably going to sound ridiculous saying this, but I thought last night he looked like a 35-year-old who was in the twilight of his career and can't really move anymore. I just think in some games he does look like that. Not in many, to be fair. And obviously he scores all the fucking time, so it's not like you can sit here criticising Chris Martin. But last night was one of those games where, because we had Chris Martin up front, I just thought there was just zero out ball, basically. It doesn't help that you don't have Luke Thomas on the wing, who's probably our quickest attacker, I would say. But there was just absolutely no outlet with Chris Martin up top.
Yeah, he's a player that, if the team's not playing well, if you've not got possession of the ball, you're not creating chances, he's not going to look like he's doing anything. He's a finisher, simple as. His hold-up play's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's very good.
If you give it to him in good areas and don't just pump it over his head into the channel, which he's never going to get to, if you play it directly to him, he can hold it up well and play players in. I think last night was the wrong game, because when we did play it to him, there was no one really within 10, 15 yards of him to kind of lay it off to. The ball wasn't really holding up on the grass very well, so when he did lay it off, it kind of stuck in the mud a little bit. We didn't really have too many dribbles forward off of him. I think in terms of getting to the byline, dragging it back, which is kind of his preferred ball, we didn't get in those areas anywhere near enough, if at all, I would say.
Mm.
The crosses from Vale and Sinclair were poor, and he just had no service all night. And I think that's probably just an indication of the player he is. He's never going to be a Johnson Clark Harris. Give me the ball, I'll do it myself. Shrug a player off, go past someone and hit a pile driver from 30 yards.
Mm.
He's not that kind of player. What he is a, you guys do your thing, you play football, you get us up the pitch, you create space for each other and you get balls in the box, I'll score. And if we're not doing that, which we didn't many times, if at all, last night, we were very limited, then he's going to look crap, because he's just kind of waiting for those opportunities which aren't being presented for him. So I will not criticise Martin for last night. I don't think it was his game, and I don't think the rest of the team provided or supported him in the way they should. Not to put too much blame on the players either, because I think the whole night was just a difficult affair. It just kind of highlighted the lack of options we had, because last night, you know, you look at Martin on there, I think after 50, 60 minutes, you'd probably say, right, let's get someone with pace on, let's get someone who's going to be busy up front.
Yeah.
Create gaps in that back line, someone to kind of, I always use this player, which he never was particularly great for us, but Harvey Saunders, like, he's quick. He was just busy up front, and someone like that just to move centre backs about. Let's Evans get up and try and find those pockets in behind. It just opens up space. And, you know, that was the game that we needed that. And we didn't have an option off the bench to do that. We brought on Harry Vaughan, who I thought was pretty poor when he did come on.
He just looks like a toddler playing amongst men.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
he does.
I'm not having him either, to be honest. He looks very weak and lightweight. But my point is, we just lack options. And we needed to work. It was pretty obvious to everyone that Martin wasn't doing it yesterday, and the only other option, if you were going to keep him on, would be bring on some pace on the wing to kind of get him behind and get the ball in for him, which again we didn't have on the bench either. So
it's more of an indictment, really, of going back to the summer recruitment that we just came into the season with two older strikers who are pretty similar.
Martin was a late signing as well, October.
I just think I don't even think we needed someone fantastic up front. Like Brandon Hanlon would have been fine, just someone who you can hit it into a channel and they've got some pace and they can get onto it and the whole team can move up the pitch. It's like, you just with Mark, there's just, it goes back to what you said earlier about the lack of pace.
Like, pace, that's our biggest issue in the squad.
I think
we've got a good squad with really good footballers in it. But like you say, nothing wrong with Chris Martin.
No.
If there's balls coming in the box, Max is absolutely right. He's a clinical finisher. Ball falls to him, he scores a goal, and he scores some really awkward looking goals this season
because
he just knows how to steer the ball towards the goal. The biggest thing for me in the summer would be, obviously he's got sort of defence out, which I think we'll get there and we'll get that done. But we need pace in this side critically, I would suggest.
Yeah. Last player I want to touch on, Grant Ward. Came on in this game only for the last 10-15 minutes or so. First game in 2 months. So I think he got injured in the away game at Norwich, I'm pretty sure. Got bought off in that one. Haven't seen him since. Yeah, came on in this. Just oozes class.
Yeah.
And I was a bit concerned about what Taylor said post-match about him, saying how he's had a really serious injury and we've got to be careful with him. And basically that he's at high risk of breaking down again, which didn't sound too...
Says it's always going to be there, this injury.
Yeah.
Which says to me like a tendonitis or a recurring knee problem. Mm.
Which doesn't sound promising. And it's a real shame because he's absolutely brilliant. I love him.
Yeah, he's a fit Grant Ward, gets into any side in League One. And I just think... His injury coincides with our season finishing, obviously with the Norwich away game and obviously then going out of the cup anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought he's just such a driving force in that midfield, like a real box-to-box midfielder that can do it all. I know he wears the number eight, but a proper number eight that can do a bit of everything. You could ask him to sit and hold for a game, or you could ask him to... You know, bomb on and try and get the goal at Norwich, for example. You know, he had that in the locker, which was incredible. Huge concern if that is an injury, it's always going to be there. And then I think as a club, probably got to make a decision on that. That's a big concern.
I think going back to the pace issue as well, not only up top but in midfield, I think Grant Ward and McCormick, who's also been out for a while, are our two centre mids who have that. Burst of pace,
drive. Yeah,
that the others, Finley, Conte, Evans, all class. I love them all, but they don't have that, and we just look very one paced without either of them.
Yeah, it's definitely a theme in the team, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, we're going to finish with some social media comments. So we're going to start with this one from Ben Darrell, who says, question, would you give Gordon and Hall new contracts, or do you think we need two new fullbacks in the summer? Personally, I don't think either are good enough if we want to improve. So both of those players have come under quite heavy criticism, I would say, after the last couple of games.
Yeah, good question.
Hall in particular, to be honest. Both out of contract this summer. What would you do with them, Max Alderson?
It's tough. I would... It's a really difficult one because at left back, we've got Gordon and our other left back's now our director of football. So at right back, we've got Hall and then the other one is perpetually either injured or suspended. It's just kind of a little bit all over the place.
You cannot rely on Jack Hunt. That's the problem.
You cannot. And that leaves us with Hall and Gordon. Do we need a new left back and do we need a new right back? Both starting... 11 quality, yes. Does that mean we should get rid of Hall and Gordon? For me, no. I think they're young enough to provide fitness and legs in a squad capacity. And if you have an injury, I think either one of them could come in and do a job for a few games. And I think that's valuable. The question for me at right back with Hall is Jack Hunt going to be kind of that squad option? And then you bring in a new right back. If which case, yes, him and Gibbons can go in the summer. Left back, we only have Gordon. So... I think, for me, out of the two, if you're ignoring all of the situation and all things around contract, around their form, if you look at the two players and how they've been over their time at Rovers, I think Gordon is better than Hall at what he does. I think he's more solid. I think he's a little bit better technically. I think he offers a little bit more in terms of being a wide pivot to kind of play off. I don't think Hall really has done it at League One level. And for that reason, if it was... Like I had to make the decision right now, I'd offer Gordon a new contract and I'd let Hall go and probably keep Jack Hunt as a backup right back and then bring in a new first choice left back and right back. But it's difficult. We have so many players out of contract. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go on a little bit of a tangent here.
Go for it.
We've got, 8 or 9 players contracted for next season, which is just ridiculous. I think the expectation for next season cannot be, playoffs. I think that can be an aim, but the expectation cannot be there. I think people need to have a little bit of a reality check as to where we are as a club. You've got potentially 3 pretty big clubs coming down to our division. You can include Rotherham in that, who are always up there and competitive in League One.
They always piss League One.
They always do. And then you've got, the other two are up for grabs. It could be Stoke. It could be Birmingham.
Stoke could be huge.
Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, big clubs, man. Big clubs with big budgets coming down. And then coming up, you've got Wrexham, for God's sakes, who are, again, probably going to push.
Pain money. In the ass they are, aren't they?
Yeah. You've got Stockport, Moneybags as well.
Mansfield.
Mansfield are a good team. We score a lot of goals.
We might go down.
And you're losing... you're losing the likes
my expectations
of...
are dropping by the second tier. Yeah.
So
I'll be happy
good.
To scrape survival.
But you're losing the likes of Fleetwood, Port Vale and Shrewsbury, maybe Cheltenham, we'll see. But like, you know, smaller clubs who don't really cause problems. And I think League One next year is going to be very competitive.
Can you please speak into the front of your mind?
I think it's going to... I will, yeah, sorry. Again. I think it's going to be a very competitive league and you have to improve to stand still. That is the key phrase for me.
Yes.
To stand still where you are, you have to improve levels because the league will be tougher next year. And when you consider that there are 8 or 9 contracted players for next season, he's got a massive job this summer, Taylor. He's got a huge job to not only recruit, but recruit well enough to improve to a level where we just achieve the same finish as this year. To then go again and try and get playoffs, it's going to take a hell of a job recruitment-wise and coaching-wise. And for that reason, I think you kind of need players you know a little bit, and I wouldn't necessarily get rid of everyone who's out of contract. Can we do better than some? Yes, but I don't also think there's a couple who could do a job at squad level, and you know, sometimes you may have to look at the likes of Luca Hall and think we kind of do need another option there just for now until we find someone better. And you know, I think you look at this the season coming, I would, if you offered me top half again, I'd take that 100%. I think given how tough it's going to be next year, I may be wrong, but my hunch just says we're going to need some insane recruitment this summer to be pushing the top end of the table. So yeah, a bit of a long answer to your question.
I enjoyed the tangent.
You enjoyed the tangent.
It can stay in. It'll make the cut.
I think you make a good point though with the, when you actually look how many are out of contract, but to kind of maybe back the club on that, they've put the pieces in place to try and hopefully start getting things done early. So with like George Friend being director of football and getting some of the recruitment things in place now.
Is it Chris Spenlove become head of recruitment
now? Yeah, they can start making some those. They're going to be sat around the table having those discussions. Who do we keep? But my answer to the question with the fullbacks, I'm exactly the same. I'd be letting Luca go. I think he has done really well for us actually, but I don't think he's improved enough to be a top half League One player for sure. In League Two, I think he's a really, really good right back.
He looks League Two level to me, as much as I hate to say it. I kind of think that's
I think he is, and like, you know, I think he's done well for us and he's one of our academy prospects. You want him to kind of push on, but you've got to be realistic. I don't think that's going to happen. And Flash, I'd be keeping him. Would I be in the market for another left back? Yes, I would. One to start and then bring Gordon on, maybe still. He is still young himself. But apparently him and Conte are quite close from their Watford days. So, you know, I think that might help as well and, you know, help bring him on because he seems, I don't know, he's a really good left back. He's definitely a stay-at-home left back. He's not a full-back that's going to bomb forward, but definitely worth keeping, I think. And the fact that we've only got one.
A Michael Kelly, not a Tariq Holmes-Dennis.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's true. We've had a Perth Gas statement.
Statement.
Kind of touches on what we've just talked about, to be fair. Max's tangent kind of comes into this. At the start of this season, I would have been happy with a 7th to 10th place finish. This team was never ready for playoffs and maybe accidentally getting into the championship. 10th is still achievable, and given that last season we finished 17th, this is consolidation. I'd argue it's progression, really.
Quite
if you go from 17th
that.
To 10th.
So we have only finished top half once in like the last 15 years.
Which is pathetic, by the way.
Last time we finished top half in League One was under Daryl Clark, the first season back in League One. And before that, you'd have to stretch back to Trollope. You know, historically, Trollope didn't even get a top half finish.
Well, I don't know. I'm shaking my head at the general thought of us just being crap.
So I thought you were like, no,
Trollope. No,
I'm pretty sure
Trollope
did get a top half finish just once or twice.
Or did Trollope get sacked when we were top half?
No, we were.
Did we not panic?
We must have finished top half in League One with Lambo up top at some point.
You'd like to think so. It's that long ago, we can't remember.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. Like, historically, you can only look at 20 years, really. The last 20 years, we have been a bottom half League One, League Two team. So a top half finish is an improvement. Yeah. You can, you know, forget everything else. Forget trying to keep up with Bristol City or like ambitions to get in the championship. Let's do one thing at a time. Let's get in that top half. And if that's 12th by 1 point on or by goal difference against Northampton again, I could care less. It's a top half finish in League One, which circumstantially, given everything that's happened this season and given the last 20 years, is an improvement. So let's take that and, you know, take it to the bank, really.
Take it to the bank.
Well, like I said, with the new owner saying about it's a 3-year thing to get into the championship.
So
he's taking the pressure off, not saying next year. We're, you know, like you said, don't expect, but let's hope we have a good season and maybe sneak in there. But, you know, I think you could get promoted too early as a club. I think in 3 years' time, obviously the training ground will be improvements, there'll be improvements in the stadium, then we might be in a better place. Rather than go up to the championships, get battered every week, and then come down a bit wounded and a bit damaged, where I think if we can get there and take our time a little bit more, we'll be in a better place when we do get there.
I agree. I liked it. Me and Willett were chatting about this the other week. We were saying how with the whole 3-year plan thing, Willett was saying, when have you ever heard anyone from Rovers come out and say, right, we're in year two of a 5-year plan? It's always like, today is the start of a new 3 or 5-year.
I think that's the same every club.
We're always cycling to the start of another 3 or 5-year plan, aren't we? But anyway, yeah. So Andrew Haskins' rant. This is all written in caps, so I'm not going to shout it.
Is he shouting at us?
Just know that this is all in caps.
Okay.
Stop sprinting through chants, make new chants, repeat chants over and over, create a fucking atmosphere. Thank you, please. I went to Dublin with Andrew and a few other people last week. Andrew's very, very passionate about the fact that we're shit at singing songs at the Mem and the atmosphere generally dwindling. I don't disagree with him
It's been a while, hasn't it?
I can't disagree.
It's just going downhill massively.
When was the last, do you remember, like, I hate to like bring up certain players, but like when we had like Bowden, Harrison and Taylor, and there would be a song for each of them.
There'd
be a song for each of the strikers, and then on the like a centre back would make a tackle and you'd be like, oh, be doing an Alfie Kilgore chant.
Got Steve Elliott. He's like, fucking brilliant.
The Harry Maguire Alfie Kilgore song. Alfie Kilgore. There's nothing like that, and I think that kind of says, I think it might be a post-COVID thing, you know.
Drakum.
I think it could be a little bit of a, you know, we've lost the affinity that we had with a consistent squad. And under Daryl, there was always players that you would chant about, like Joey Partington, who, let's be honest, no disrespect to Partington, but like, not exactly a club legend, but he had a song.
We had a song for Joe Partington. We do not have one for Chris Martin.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
So what I would say to anyone listening who does like to have a little chant or a song, be it Goodnight Irene or When the Gas, is come up, just go back to basics. Have the or the whatever, you know, the easy chants that are so easy to do.
Well, the one player chant we do have is Anthony Evans, and it's got Joey Barton in it.
Yeah, and everybody doesn't quite know what to say.
I mean, just pick a song like Chris Martin. Chrissy Martin. It's easy. I think a lot of it is people are scared to be the first one to do it. And if you've ever started a chant, you know it's a terrifying thing to start a chant.
It's horrendous.
And the entire terrace just be silent immediately after you've shouted something or tried to get something going. But just be a bit fearless. No one's going to care. No one's going to go, oh, what a knob. Well, one or two might. But like, no one's going to think about it when they go home. Just be that person. Be brave and, you know, get 4 or 5 of your mates who are with you and just decide what you're going to sing and sing it, and people will join in. And it's as simple as that, really. Just get something going. And, you know, maybe me and you and whoever we go with, we need to do it ourselves. I don't know. But
well, I feel like we'll
have to take
it
the mantle. And
But it does feel like we basically just cycle through Goodnight Arena and When the Gas now.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like,
the only thing, you've got to be really careful you don't end up with like forcing a singing section. Or something like that. That's horrible. It's got to be natural, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. I agree. You know,
it makes you laugh when we sing "We're Bristol Rovers, we don't need a drum." We kind of do to get the atmosphere going. I don't ever want to hear one, by the way, at the Mem. But you know what I mean? It's just, it's a bit flat. But then, I don't know. It's just...
I mean, this season, it doesn't help. But
he makes a good point, though.
Yeah.
It's a bit disappointing. We had that, I think, when the South Stand was... first time there was quite a few in there. I can't remember what game it was now.
Oxford.
The Oxford game. That was amazing in there.
Yeah.
That was so good. And we just need a bit more of that.
Then we put in like 3 honking home game performances.
Yeah, that kills it. That absolutely kills it.
You need to be a good home team to have a good home atmosphere. We've talked before about the give and take relationship, but the players need to give the fans something to cheer and chant about.
Yeah.
But also, you know, a little bit of variety.
We could do with some more chants, definitely.
A nice fresh start next season and we'll get them going.
Yeah.
Good preseason. Let's get a good preseason in us. A couple of chants at Manor Farm away.
Yes.
A bit of Melksham away.
Yeah.
That'll get us going.
Well, I've got my season ticket next year at the back of F Block in the South Stand, so I will take responsibility and give it some next
year. Yeah,
season.
You're going to get it going in there, are you? Nice. Yeah.
I'll come up with some. Max have to help me with the songwriting.
Surely we can get a bit of we're the North Stand, we're the North Stand, we're the North Stand over here, we're the South Stand. Me and you, because I stand always in the past.
Just me and you.
Oh, we'd probably sing up Wigs Hill Canteen.
As it stands, we'd probably hear each other, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Hear you loud and clear. Yeah. We're going to finish with this one from Boise Snackbox.
I'm excited.
Which says, question, should wearing a dry robe be prohibited at the Mem? This got a lot.
That's brilliant.
This got a lot of traction. There's a lot of replies to this. One of them, I am highly strung, replied and said, given that the Mem isn't a river, lake or sea, yes.
Get them gone.
Dracon.
Get them gone. Fashion fad.
I saw...
Terrible.
I was stood behind two people going into the... What game was it? The last home game?
You're not going to Niagara Falls, for fuck's sakes. Like, it's the Mem. It's not going Maid of the Mist.
Derby.
Derby, yes. Like, sit behind two people going into the Thatchers and they were in dry robes.
I never understand
it. If Terrace Paul's listen to this, there's going to be blue and white quarter dry robes.
They will.
In the club shop.
They will. And they'll sell like hotcakes as well. Yeah, they will.
I know it's been a wet season, but like, Jesus. Like, it's not just wear a coat. Like, they can't make that much of a difference. Like, how dry do you need to be? Do you need to be like...
I thought you'd have been a dry robe man. I don't know why.
Horrendous. Not a fan. Unless you're at like Victoria Falls or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Thoughts on dry robes at the Mem week, say?
I can't say I'm overly worried.
He'd land keep you awake at night.
I'm not overly worried, but yeah, I do get the...
Landfills.
There's the social media page, isn't it? Like dry robe wankers.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Yeah,
it's them funny. And the giant flasks that all the girls have at the minute. The massive.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
Oh, Walter, almost like.
I don't know the brand name, but they're like 2 litre drinking water bottles. And it's just like literally one of those things, like the dry robe, that has got a little bit of social media traction. And everyone's like, oh, they're cool, so I'll get one.
Yeah.
And they'll all be like in a landfill, skipping. Like 5 years time with all the Funko Pops and all the other shit that is mass produced.
I don't mind a Funko Pop.
Shit, mate.
All right. We will end it there. I feel like this has come to a natural conclusion. So yeah, thank you to everyone for listening. Max, before we go, do you want to tell everyone a little bit about your monthly spaces that you're doing with Dan Hargreaves?
Yeah,
because you did the first one recently, but for anyone who hasn't seen it, doesn't know what it is,
yes. So Dan Hargreaves and I have...
Is it Hargreaves? I always call him Hargreave. Anyway, sorry, I've derailed.
No E.
Carry on.
There's no E in it.
Is there not? All right.
There's no E in it.
Fair.
I could be wrong. I'll ask him.
Dan's screaming.
We can ask him on the next Twitter space.
Yes.
So we've decided to start...
That'll get everyone's tune in.
A collab Bristol Post Gascast monthly Twitter space. Which will be roughly at the start of every month, maybe first week of every month, where we kind of go over the month, we answer your questions, we kind of get a little bit of a reporter side view of what's been going on at Rovers. Dan obviously goes to every single game, home and away. He talks to the manager after every game. He talks to the players after every game. He lives and breathes Bristol Rovers, despite not being a Bristol Rovers fan and being his job. He's a bit of an expert, so to speak, in a short amount of time, given the fact that he sees and hears things that we don't. It's good for a Gascast perspective and for people who listen to this pod to get a different view of how things have been going at Rovers, because sometimes, and particularly on the first one we did, I'll say, oh, this player's been this, and Dan said, well, actually, he's been saying this and that's because of this injury or this thing that's happened and I've been unaware of it. It's quite good to get a different angle on things. And yeah, it's good also. Dan wants to definitely build more of a relationship with the supporter base and also have kind of a bit more of an opportunity to kind of connect with the fans. So it's a good thing for Gascast. It's a good thing for the Bristol Post. But most importantly, I think it'd be a really good thing for people who listen to this pod to get involved with, because one thing you can't do listening to this pod is say something. Because, you could be listening to this right now on Spotify or iTunes and you can have an opinion and you might be saying something as you're working and, it's to the void effectively, but you come to a Twitter space, you can write a comment that we'll then read out, you can request to speak even, and you know, yep. I'll say this now, we're happy for anyone who listens to this pod to who wants to say something to come onto the Twitter space, request to speak, and we'll absolutely let them say their piece or have a conversation with us. And
unless they own a dry robe.
Unless they own a dry robe.
In which case, get fucked.
Get gone. Get out of here. Not interested. But yeah, it's a different environment completely to the podcast. Come and listen to the next one. It'll be at the start of April. We'll talk about the Easter bank holiday and how things have been going. So yeah, if you want to listen to the last one, you can listen to them on our Twitter. Just go to the Gazcast Twitter account, scroll down until you see the space, and give us a follow if you don't.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's wrap it up. We will speak to you in a couple of weeks' time. Get down the mem to cheer on the Gas Girls on the 24th. Right. We're going.
We're off.
Goodbye. Up the gas.
Up the gas.
Up the gas.
Up the fucking gas.